You know, we have political division right now in this country. And if you're not politically on one side or the other, then you're vapid and you don't know what's going on. As soon as you understand what's happening, you're on one side or the other, let's face it. But what do we have in common these days? What do we have in common? Do we all like pizza? Well, no, not everybody likes pizza. Some people think it's too much cheese. What is it? Is it the fact that we're all human beings? No, nobody cares about that. So what is the one thing that makes us all the same? The one thing on which we can all bond? That thing is allergies. We all have allergies. All of a sudden, everybody's got allergies. It's the one thing we have in common. We get up in the morning, our nose is running. Everybody. And if your nose isn't running, then you're lying. Because it is. What happened? Is there some kind of odd force across the planet that is giving people allergies all of a sudden? Are we as a human race becoming allergic to things that we were never allergic to? Are we allergic to our own existence? Allergies. They shall diminish the world.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Perhaps I overstated that just a bit.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird. If you like that sort of thing.
Oh, my nose.
Oh. Whatever.
Oh, God. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's, oh crap.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julio. Welcome to the program. I am Ron Van Dam. I've been doing this ever since you were born. Many of you, oddly enough, isn't that odd? I feel so odd to say that some of you who are listening to this show have been doing the show before you were born? How old am I? Oh my God. I remember, I am so old that I was at the Last Supper with Jesus and I had to have a vegetarian meal. Yeah, I didn't eat meat back then. Now I do. I didn't back then. Yeah. Anyway, oh my God, these allergies, my nose is running. I'm serious, man. What happened to me? I never had these things before. I actually went to the doctor at one point in my life recently, and I said, man, I'm waking up with allergies. They go away by like the middle of the day, but my goodness, what's that? I'm sneezing like for no reason. And the doctor said, well, I don't know. I have no idea. What are you talking about? I don't know. I'm just a doctor. What do you want from me? I said, come on, man. Test me. Have sex with my wife and see if I get upset. Go on, test me. All right. No. I don't know what I'm allergic to. Pollen? Ragweed? Human beings? Air filters? I don't know what I'm allergic to. I've cereal? Eggs? Toast? Toe jam? I don't know. Ugh, toe jam. Ugh. Who came up with that phrase? Is that a real thing? Toe jam? Jam is something that you spread on your bread in the morning for breakfast. Toe jam? Ugh, come on. What's that about? Toe jam. Ew, is it coming flavors? Ugh. Toe jam. Do you ever smell your feet? Not good. Feet hold you up all day. They're embedded in socks and in these leather and nylon shoes and sneakers. Feet are not good smelling things, man. They're carrying the load all day. Not only do they carry you around, but they carry around, you know, your shopping bags and the extra weight that you... Oh, my God. Oh, my God. The feet are crazy. Toe jam. Eek. What about tartar? You know, that stuff that the dentist picks off your teeth? Then you go home, you have a piece of fish with tartar sauce? Seriously? What the hell's wrong with us? What the hell's wrong with you, pretty much? I didn't make up these words. There's so many words that can be made up, yet we reuse them. We do. Why do we do that? Are we running short of names for things? Have they all been taken .com? I mean, seriously. That stuff that the dentist picks from your teeth, we had to name the fish sauce stuff, tartar sauce. What? Couldn't you come up with another word? Oh. It happens in street namings. Have you noticed that? And you go to every single town and there's a Washington Street. Now, I know Washington was the first president, apparently, that I know of. He was one of the fathers of our country. The other fathers apparently didn't show up for the meeting. There were four fathers. There's a Washington Street in just about every town. That's damn confusing. Can you come up with your own Spring Street? Come on, be a little more creative. Seriously? Spring Street? There's a town nearby here, and there are streets, there are neighborhoods that are named after people's first names. And there's one street called Jennifer Drive. And I'm saying to myself, I don't want to live on that street. I don't care how nice the house is. I'm not living on Jennifer Drive. That isn't going to be on my envelopes. Ron, where do you live? Jennifer Drive. Oh, ugh. Seriously? That's embarrassing. I know it is. I know. Jennifer Drive. What? Seriously? Why would you live there? Why would you even move into that? I don't know. I don't know why. Okay? It's the house. It wasn't the name of the street. Where do you live? Spring Street. Everybody does. Who doesn't live on Spring Street? I don't even live on Spring Street, and I live on Spring Street. That's how common that is. It's stupid. There's a town nearby here called Brockton, and the main street is called Belmont Street. Now, I don't know who this Belmont guy was, or woman, I'm sorry. I don't know who the Belmont was, but these are some of the other streets in the city of Brockton, which is a good-sized city. There's Belmont Street, there's Belmont Avenue, there's Belmont Place, there's Belmont Court. Okay, that's enough Belmont. Stop with that. Don't you understand that everybody who lives on a Belmont is going to get their mail all screwed up? Well, I'm not getting my mail. Oh, man. It must have gone to Belmont Place instead of Belmont Avenue. Oh, not again. Can't get my mail. Seriously, that just shows a lack of creativity. Every town has an Oak Street. Have you noticed that? Yeah. We run on it. Let's start naming them after trees. All right, fine, whatever. I don't understand why, but sure. Wow. And yet, the towns are named odd, but not odd enough. There should be a Placemat, New Jersey. Well, that makes no sense, Ron. Why not? What the hell? Why not Placemat, New Jersey? What difference would it make? Who cares? I live in Placemat, New Jersey on Jennifer Drive. Oh, God, you got troubles, man. You got identity problems. Hey, when you have problems, simple how you solve every single problem when you're stuck in it. Just hold up a little puppy dog. Aww. That's all you have to do. People just melt when they see the little puppy dog. Aww. Yep. It used to be little kids. People used to hold up little kids, and that would make a crowd just go, oh, but no more. Now when you hold up a kid, you get this. Yeah, no way. Put the kid down. Hold up a puppy dog. Much better. Much, much better. Okay. Are you happy? Are you happy and are you good?
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. Refined entertainment for a sophisticated audience. Who sometimes enjoy a good fart joke?
I gotta tell you, I gotta remind you what you're listening to, because at times you may find it to be quite unbelievable. This is the Ron Van Dam Show. We do this every single weekday, even on many holidays. Not Thanksgiving or Christmas, give me a break. But otherwise, we're here just about every weekday. Yeah, it's true. Well over 1,000 episodes are housed on the Podbean Network. You can listen to it anytime. Or you can go to ronvandam.com or newenglandbroadcasting.com. Again, the Podbean Network, podbean.com. iTunes, TuneIn Radio. Alexa will find us as well. Yeah, she does that. She does that. She likes looking for us. She does. We're also on SoundCloud, and every single episode is immediately posted to YouTube. So eventually, it's just like way too much of it. But what the hell? On our website, New England Broadcasting, you can see some of the talent that helps put this show together. It's not just me. God, no. Oh, no. There's Nicole Reed. She's one of the producers. She gets many of the guests that appear on the show. We do interviews on just about every program. She's responsible for that. You also may know her as that British accent girl at the beginning of the show. That's her. And John Shanahan is a brilliant writer and comedian and performer, and he does theater, he writes plays, he directs plays, he writes books, he's incredible. And he does many of the comedy commercials, actually all of them, and what we call the bumps in the opening announcement. John Shanahan, thank you so much to him. And of course, this is Jason Shaw, who the music that you hear in the background, the opening theme, is created by Jason Shaw for this program. So thank you, Jason. And there you go. You can find all these people right here on every program. Also, Julie Cochran, who also does some of the opening for us as well. There's a multitude of people. I just always forget their names. So, later on in the show, we're going to speak to a guest who is a doctore, which is Spanish for doctor, I think. I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't know Spanish, to be honest with you. When I was in school, the language of choice was French. It was a language of love. I know about maybe 10 words and a couple of phrases, and where is the library? I know that. If I'm ever stuck in Paris and I don't know where the library is, I'm good. I'm good. I got it down. How are you? What is your name? I know those things. Bon appetit. That was easy. So French, the language of love. And what I quickly learned was the language of love means nothing if you don't know the whole language. Otherwise, it's the language of a moron. So not good. Not good. I know more Spanish than I do French, and I never went to school for Spanish. So there you go. Doctore. Impressive, isn't it? So a doctore will join us later. We're going to talk about irritable bowels. I've done that on this show a lot because my bowels are so irritable, it's not funny. They're pissed at me is what they are, literally. They do not like me, my bowels. They apparently have something against me, like my leg, and they're not happy with me. here's how they get back at me. They tell me to drink water, drink water, drink water, drink water. And then all the night, now pee, now pee, now pee, now pee. I can't get a good night's sleep because those irritable bowels, they are pissed at something. I wish they'd get over it. They should go on Dr. Phil and figure out their psychological problems. And the older I get, the more irritable my bowels get. And I'll tell you something, I am also quite irritable. So I guess, why wouldn't my bowels be irritable? If my mind and my demeanor is becoming irritable, why not my bowels? So why am I so surprised? It's these allergies, man. It's these allergies. They're just getting to me. You're crazy. You know, the more I listen to my own show, the more I realize this is absurd. This is just totally absurd. If you don't smoke marijuana or pot, which are the same things, and you have no way of entering the world of absurdity, you got my show. You got my I am the creative absurd fantasy that you get if you don't smoke pot. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Does that make sense to you? It makes sense to me. I had no idea what I just said. I've been doing this my whole life. I just I walk around and I see things differently than other people. I'm overanalytical. I'm overthinking. My mind never shuts down unless I'm sleeping, in which case I go into these incredible dreams that involve pancakes and naked women. I don't even understand what they mean. They say that every dream means something. No, mine mean nothing. Mine mean nothing. Nothing. Just nothing. I think dreams are the most interesting things one can have. Oddly enough, they happen while you're sleeping. Isn't that stupid, huh? The most interesting part of our lives, the most creative, the most amazing parts of our lives take place when we're sleeping. And I cannot participate unless it's in my mind. I have had sexual dreams in my life where I am with these incredible people of the opposite sex, and just a fantasy that is soulful and so wonderful and just puts the biggest smile on my face that could possibly appear. But unfortunately, that's while I'm sleeping. If only those things could happen while I was awake, we'd have something going. But no, they happen when I'm incapacitated, in a sleeping mode. Sure, anything can happen in my dreams, but when I wake up, it's just a total letdown. See, dreams, nice dreams, are punishment. They are all the things that can happen to you that will never happen to you, really. It's like a teasing, you know? How's your life? Oh, it's pretty good. All right, let me show you this while you're sleeping. Wow, that's incredible. Yeah, but it's not real, so there you go. Your real life sucks. Your dreams are wonderful. Your real life sucks. Have a nice life. Enjoy yourself. Oh, that's very cruel. Yes, it is very cruel. No kidding. No kidding. Of course it's cruel. What do you think this is about? Okay, we're going to take a little pause here. And I put the show together, you know, with this little staff here, and I really give them all the credit. No, actually, I don't. I just say that because you're supposed to. And when we come back, we're going to speak to the doctor about irritable bowels and all that kind of stuff, man. Crazy.
To create each episode of the Ron Van Dam Show, Ron wakes up early, heads into the studio, discusses the important issues of the day.
It's true.
Interviews fascinating guests
sometimes.
And finishes his show and gets up and puts on some clothes.
What?
Try getting that image out of your head for the rest of the day, suckers! You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Hi, Ron.
How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Great. Good morning.
This is Dr. James Lewis, who's professor of medicine and epidemiology. Well, I can't even pronounce that word, doctor. What is that word? Epidemiology.
Epidemiology.
Oh gosh, yeah. Need a degree just to say that word. He's also a senior scholar in the Center for Clinical for that. Andrea Meyer is a Crohn's disease patient. Okay. We're talking about living with IBD, and, you know, we all hear initials every once in a while. What is IBD?
IBD stands for inflammatory bowel disease, which really is a broad umbrella term that encompasses two main diseases. One is ulcerative colitis, and the other is Crohn's disease. Okay. And they're very similar chronic relapsing diseases. The main difference of the two is one involves just the colon, what we consider the large intestine, whereas Crohn's disease can involve anywhere in the intestine.
Okay. If I know 10 people, and that's questionable, they all have some form of this in some degree. In other words, it causes this reaction when they eat certain foods, or it's chronic when they eat everything, but everybody I know has some concern along these lines.
Yeah, so you are correct in that. Let me back up and say,
sure.
If you know 200 people,
okay,
you know somebody who has either Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis, almost sure. It's about 1 in 200 people.
Right.
So not everybody who's got various symptoms, you know, diarrhea, belly pain, has these more serious diseases.
Okay. Is this a disease that that happens when you're young, or is it something that develops? How does this occur?
Typically, people are diagnosed in their teens or 20s, but you could be diagnosed, you know, 60 and beyond. It can be diagnosed at any age, even though the most common is in your teens or 20s.
Okay. Now, Andrea, you have some knowledge on this, quite obviously.
I do. About 18 years worth.
Yes. And was it a long journey to discover what you actually needed to be treated?
Yes. There was probably a good decade or more where it was constant, you know, managing of different symptoms. Mm-hmm. So, like Doctor mentioned, you know, diarrhea, frequent trips to the bathroom, pain, weight loss, things like that.
Is this something that can be easily diagnosed by a family practitioner, a primary care doctor? This is, I would assume, a specialty.
I think it's important for primary care physicians to have this on their radar, and then to quickly make a referral to a gastroenterologist if they have concerns. Because one of the things that we're actually learning is that the longer it takes to get people on an appropriate therapy, the worse the outcomes.
Yeah. Well, it's almost the same as any disease. The earlier you discover it and treat it, the it slows it down or halts it to some extent, I would assume. What are the ramifications besides extreme discomfort if you don't have it diagnosed?
Particularly with Crohn's disease, people can go on and have strictures or fistula. You can think of that as strictures as narrowing of the pipes, like the plumbing in your house.
Yep.
They get blocked, and then you need to cut out that piece of pipe. You can think of fistulas as just the pipe bursting, you know, having a hole in the pipe, and often you need to go in and cut out that part of the pipe. And so we're trying to keep people from having surgeries and keep them feeling well.
Okay. Andrea, now you're a patient advocate, which is very important because you're more familiar with this than anybody because you deal with it. What is the end game? Do you want to make people aware of this? What are you saying to them?
Just educating both patients and what we consider, I guess, their support systems, because the more people that are learning about it and simply talking about it, just kind of the more traffic we're getting to shining a light on looking at different things relative to the disease for management or causation and things like that.
Right. it's probably very difficult to diagnose what types of foods and what types of diets works and which ones don't work, I assume.
Yeah, that's kind of been the golden question, I guess, that it's out of patients' mouths, you know, almost immediately because they're seeing a result of what's coming, you know. Yeah. They want to know what's going in that's causing what's coming out.
Exactly.
And there isn't really a simple answer to that.
Right. Well, doctor, we've understood that this occurs and what it is. What do we do about it?
We have, you know, there's a couple different strategies for managing people's Crohn's disease.
Mm-hmm.
The main strategy that is used for 90%+ of patients is a variety of medications that suppress your immune system. So it tries to basically damp down those white blood cells in you that fight infection, which we think of as actually sort of causing the disease. And so that's one approach. And then what we're particularly interested in goes back to what Andrea was saying is, can we find an alternative approach using diet as a way to control this overly robust immune response?
Okay. I understand there was a study called DINE-CD. What is that?
So DINE-CD is an ongoing study. It's open to patients who have Crohn's disease with mild to moderate symptoms, and it's operating in more than 30 centers around the United States. And the idea of DINE-CD is we're going to compare two different diets as a treatment for Crohn's disease. One is a Mediterranean-style diet, which I'm sure almost all your listeners have heard of before.
Right. We've talked about it here, yeah.
Yep. And the other is called specific carbohydrate diet. And this they probably are less aware of, but it's a diet that's actually been used anecdotally to treat lots of these immune-mediated diseases. What's never really been done is to test this diet in a head-to-head clinical trial against what would be considered the preferred healthy diet, which would be a Mediterranean-style diet.
Right.
And so this clinical trial is a head-to-head comparison of these with the added bonus that for participants, we're actually providing them with all their meals and food for the first 6 weeks of the trial.
Oh, okay. Let me just go back for a second, and we'll find out more about that, but let me go back for a second. Many of the people that I know that have various degrees of this, if you can even diagnose it as that, but have similar symptoms, it can come and go. Is that part of what this disease is about? It's not constant, it's periods of times and incidents. Is it described that way as well?
Yeah, that's definitely a typical experience.
Okay.
No matter where you're at, kind of on the spectrum of this disease.
Yeah.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, so how do we get more information on this?
If you are interested in information about Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis,
yes,
you can go to www.crohnscolitisfoundation.org.
Uh-huh.
And if you're interested in information about the clinical trial,
yes,
I would point people to www.clinicaltrials.gov,
yeah. Yeah.
Where they can then put in the search term DINE-CD,
uh-huh,
and it will come right up for you.
Andrea, I'll ask you one more question here. Is it, at what age were you diagnosed with this?
I was 17.
Okay. And prior to 17, was this always a problem, or did it just start occurring at a certain age?
I think I started paying more attention probably about a year prior to actual formal diagnosis.
Okay.
But, it wasn't a huge, huge presence, at least, that I was actively paying attention to.
Yeah. I mean, doctor, you said, if you know 200 people, one of them is probably have the disease, but again, I half the people I know at least have some concerns where no, I can't eat that, or no, I can't eat that. They know what foods cause incredible irritation and discomfort. But we don't know if they're diagnosed with it, but that is a similar situation that you need to start looking out for?
Yeah, so I think it's worth, it's a really great question that you brought up. And it's important for people to discuss their symptoms with their primary care physician. Mm-hmm. There's a few tests that primary care physicians can do to triage those people who are likely to have a more benign condition referred to as irritable bowel syndrome versus those who are more likely to have a more serious condition, Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis, and then make the decision of who to refer for additional testing.
Okay.
What I wouldn't suggest is just keeping this to yourself and ignoring your symptoms. See your primary care doctor, tell them about what's going on, let them do a little additional testing to decide who to refer and who to try and manage more conservatively.
Okay, all right. And taking over-the-counter things when you have it is not, it masks it not even well, but that doesn't solve anything, I assume.
You're 100% correct. Yeah. You will mask the symptoms, but you have not resolved the problem.
Right, and it could even get worse. Okay, one more time where we go for more information.
So go to www.crohnscolitisfoundation.org, or for info on the trial, www.clinicaltrials.gov, and just type in Dyne CD.
Great. Dr. Lewis, thanks for the information. Andrea, thanks for being an advocate. And a pleasure speaking to you both.
Thanks so much for having us.
Okay. Bye-bye. All right. All right. Fine. You know where I got to go now. You bet. Well, I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. And that will be really something to listen to. So I hope you prepare all day to join me again tomorrow. At any time of day, this is always available. That's the nice thing about it. Until then, I wish you peace. Sweet dreams to you, by the way. Big finish. Here we go. Big finish.